Hi, I'm Jim. Welcome to the Unbound Performance Podcast, where we explore the world of sports and performance mindset training.
And I'm Caroline. Each week, we talk about the strategies, habits, and mental framework that help us to excel. Let's get into today's episode.
I thought we'd talk about this book one more time, From Strength to Strength by Arthur Brooks. Mostly because there's this one chapter where he just drops this imagery that is so powerful that I just felt compelled to talk about it.
Let's do it.
So here we go. He writes about sitting next to an aspen tree in Colorado and looking up and thinking about how, you know, the lone tree is rugged and can stand on its own and all this kind of thing. And so he talks to one of his friends and mentions this, and that particular friend happened to know a lot about trees. And he said, actually, the aspen, there's a group of aspen trees in Utah that all of their roots are connected. It's 106 acres of all the same tree, basically. It's called Pando, which is Latin for I spread.
How do they know they're all connected?
Science, man. And what did he...
Pando Tree, Utah.
Mm-hmm. So it's literally described like
massive
online.
Single organism, aspen grove, yeah. Located in Fish Lake National Forest.
Yes.
That's pretty too. Look at that.
14,000 to 16,000 years old. Covers 106 acres and weighs 6 million kilograms, which is over 13 million pounds.
How do you weigh a tree in the ground? Just saying.
What do you know? I don't know. I majored in PE. I sure don't know how to weigh a whole 106 acres worth of trees. But the point being, it was... While it may appear that this one tree is standing on its own, that it, in fact it is an entire community of trees covering 100 plus acres. And then he, same thing he thought about with the redwood, which grows 275 feet. Could that be the picture of rugged individualism? He said, while they are born individual trees, very quickly their roots all connect. And so you see this grove of redwoods or whatever, they're all connected as well. Although the aspen, they all literally had the same genetic markers. It is one thing. Even though
it
looks like
the trees have genetic markers either. I never realized they're organisms, but it just didn't occur to me that. All right,
isn't it amazing what happens when I show up here?
It is. It really is. Thank God we have you.
I know. Well, more like thank goodness we have Arthur Brooks.
We'll just spin off into a science podcast.
Yeah, I know. So we'll get ready to nerd out. But it, all of this, the point of it is how, if we think we can live our lives just, obsessed with being successful, obsessed with achievement, and that we will find satisfaction that way, that is not how we are. And the strength of our relationships dictates the quality of our life. And I feel pretty certain we mentioned this, that Harvard longitudinal study started in 1938, where they studied 200 and 68 men and over decades, and to see like what makes for a good life. One of the later research, like literally the study outgrew the researchers at Harvard. They kept passing it along. And Robert Waldinger is the latest one, I guess. And he did a TED talk, what makes a good life. And they found that the people who were the most satisfied in their relationships at age 50 were the healthiest at age 80. And the single most important trait of what they called happy and physically well elders was healthy relationships. Literally, they quote, happiness is love, full stop. Meaning that this race to collect and achieve and accumulate, it does not satisfy us. And he goes on to talk about how he went to India, which he loves, and goes back to visit once a year, but he met kind of a guru and talked about different stages of life. And that was pretty interesting. But I think when we're younger, we buy into the idea that if we win or make tons of money or whatever, we're going to be happy and fulfilled. And that is just not why we're here. It's not how we're made. And I think the imagery of the trees being connected is, it goes for all of us. Like, in a, like a Buddhist sense, like every one of us is connected. And, but he talks about how, particularly as on the back end of your life, where you may not be as good in some ways, in other ways, like the younger people are filling that gap while you are providing these strengths and this wisdom to help those young people. And that's where you fill a gap. And I don't know, it's pretty heavy and pretty meaningful to me to think about. And the whole notion of being alone, it's, that is not where it's at. Like, and I'm not talking about, you know, being solid, you know, finding solitude or whatever. Those are moments are great and powerful. But the feeling of loneliness, that is, and you can even be around other people and still feel that way. And it's, that is really a big problem. And
I think when you hear people talk about like being in a state of depression, people always say, I just feel so alone. Either alone, like isolated alone, or alone in my feelings and my emotions and my thoughts. But back to your comment about, you know, pursuing goals and being successful in things in life, I think society tells us, and the way we're raised tells, you know, major in something that's going to make you get a good job and earn money. You know, beyond, like, you want to strive to be on the top team at your club, you want to strive to be the best in your class, like always shooting for those things. And I think I'm seeing, as someone who's raising kids today, maybe you agree or disagree, I don't know, I feel like we're shifting a little bit to encouraging our kids to be more well-rounded, for lack of a better phrase, and encouraging them of how relationships work and how our emotions work and all things like that. But it is hard to naturally unwind, because even as someone who wants something different to teach my kids something different, and not to tell them like, oh, major in something that won't make you any money. It's not that we're flipping the script, but, you know, encouraging something like that, and also how to have strong relationships and the importance of community and just having people around you and having people who have similar morals to you, and just trying to build that people call your circle and things like that. It matters to have those people. So I think it's one of those, hopefully at some point we shift and see a difference in how we encourage people to seek success in a different realm instead of just financial wins, awards. I think it's just, and it's challenging because like we've talked, you always use the example, we see a 5-year-old kid after their first soccer game. How many goals did you score? Did you win? Mm-hmm. It's just, it's the instinct. But that teaches them from that early. So the encouragement of also teaching them how to interact with other kids in the classroom, my daughter went to a friend's house the other night. Bragging my kid for a minute. The parents took my daughter, their daughter, and another friend out to Party Shack, that indoor golf putt-putt place over by Triangle Town Center. And then they ended up going back to the house afterwards, and when I picked them up, they were like, how do you get her to be so mature? And I'm like, I don't know. But I also, like, think it's one of the, like, they were like, we want our kid to hang around her and just kind of calm her down a little bit. But I don't teach my child to be calm. I don't necessarily like say to her those things. But I think when you exude that, and when, like, we aren't always hopping from one thing to the next on the weekends. Like, we kind of maintain a pretty calm household. I try to talk to my kids as if, I mean, not as if they're adults, because they're that's a little too far. But try to be on the same level as them and not like baby them down. I think it's just one of those things where, I think some of it's nature and nurture. But it's important to me that, yes, my kids have a great fun childhood and get to do all the fun kid things, but also know how to go thank someone's parents for taking them out to ice cream and not be uncomfortable doing so. So it's just a practice we've done from the start. And I mean, you know, I was certainly raised that way. I think it's just one of those things that, like, those little details that we instill in our kids early on to encourage them to have confidence in a situation where they're talking to an adult or talking to another kid's parents or something that might otherwise be uncomfortable. We had back to school night last week, you know, meeting a new teacher that you've never seen before and just learning how to make eye contact and, you know, try to search for a connection with that person to something that I would rather her have than like, oh, does she seem like she's nice? You know, like trying to encourage my kids to make a connection with people in their lives.
Yeah. And none of this is to say that winning doesn't matter or being successful doesn't matter. That's not the point. Right. When I look back at, you know, it was kind of like the more we won, the more we had to keep winning or else, you know, it was kind of obsessed. I would have been a better coach, better person, a better everything if I'd have handled that better.
Kept what better specifically?
The pressure of constantly having to win and finding too much of my worth and identity in those successes and probably liking it too much when, no, probably, like definitely liking it too much when people would be complimentary about what we'd done or whatever. And now when I look back, I just kind of shake my head at myself. And that doesn't mean that the working hard and teaching that the pursuit of excellence is a powerful, meaningful thing was wrong. It's not. It's the way to go.
Excellence and relationships.
But it is that process, and it's intertwined with the people that you are doing all of this with. And I'm lucky that I at least had a pretty human sense of like the worth of everyone that was involved in it. And but I think just deep down on the inside, I was probably too desperate to keep winning, you know, and I could have enjoyed it more than I did. We've talked, you know, about how it felt like just a relief after winning. And but I think trying to keep things in perspective is really important. But also, like, it is good to push yourself and do hard things and stretch it out and keep learning, keep growing. And that for me is like the way to go. And that's what I would strongly recommend to anyone who is, you know, in the first half of their life. Don't get swallowed up. Like, don't let your personhood get swallowed up by chasing things that, like, you absolutely will not be kicking back, feet up, thinking about, yeah, we won this or won that, or it's not going to happen. And somehow I think we think it does. Like, for me, I never think about those things. Yeah. I think about the people that I was lucky enough to be with, but I never think about one game, one nothing. Like, sometimes somebody will bring it up, you know, out of the blue, and I'm like, oh yeah. Like, other people remember those things more than I do. So I'm actually glad of that, and I'm whatever. We have lots of stuff going on now. Like, that's where I choose to be.
It was like the other night when we were talking with the volleyball team about, you know, my example is like, I don't meet people and say like, oh, I played college volleyball.
Right.
Like, I mean, I remember that it happened and I was proud that it happened. And it's still something that if it comes up, I enjoy talking about the experience and the pride I had in that. But I mean, I don't recall at the time thinking like, oh, this is something I'm going to like wear my back forever. But I think you do in the moment think that this is going to be who you are, like part of you forever. And now, like, you would be foolish to walk up to someone at, you know, late 30s and be like, well, yeah, I played college volleyball. Like, that's just not part of my story or my current story anyway. It's part of my historical story, but it's just not something that I need to identify with anymore. So I think it's one of those things where if you can remember in anything, in any moment, that nothing is forever as far as it not being part of like an experience.
And it's not supposed to be.
It's not supposed to be, right. And it's okay for it to be something that was really important and that just kind of, like we talk about our thoughts, just like passing by, just it's part of, you know, the story, and that's all that it is, nothing more.
And I think from a performance standpoint where this really comes into play, you know, if you're like, let's just say you're a kid who's doing the youth sports travel thing and you're hoping to get some kind of college scholarship or whatever to play, just use that as an example. We put so much pressure on ourselves and we think that once that happens, then we'll have arrived. And I remember talking to someone, she's like 15 or 16, and she thought, like, because I asked her, like, then what? And she was like, mm-hmm. I said, then it's just another beginning. Another thing, still game on. And that's where if you're heavily invested in the process of becoming the best you can be as a person, as an athlete or whatever, then you just don't stop.
Right.
And realizing that whatever you meet a goal of, I'm going to play this level of athletics in college. Once that happens, once you sign your letter and have the little ceremony at your school, that little hit of dopamine, whatever, you know, that's everybody wants to talk about that these days. It doesn't last very long. Nope. Before it's like, oh gosh, now what? Now you want to play. Now you want to get in the starting lineup. And that's two, when all of a sudden then we have these situations where if a kid doesn't play as a freshman, like it used to be, like, good luck playing as a freshman.
Right.
Now, if you're not playing, you're upset and
hitting the portal.
Yeah. You're looking to transfer. And I really don't think that's psychologically very healthy at all. And I'm not suggesting that you should never consider transferring, but I think your reasons have to be really good. Right. And it can't be because you're escaping something that's difficult or some kind of struggle. And that's where learning the value of the process and the work That's what's so important, and it's much more important. I know Vince Lombardi, he had this thing like the pursuit of excellence is much more important than the events that occasion that. And he's so right. And that's where, you know, we can lose ourselves in the weeds, thinking if I just do this, if we just win this.
Well, I think if you're on that pursuit of excellence too, it, like you're saying, it doesn't mean that you can't strive for a goal, but you can't make everything be the end goal. And I think when everything seems like it's the end goal, like, oh, well, once I do this, I'll be happy. That, I think that moment of excitement or joy or dopamine, like you're saying, from that event existing or occurring, I think ends up being way more temporary, because it's like, oh, okay, now the next one. Whereas if you know that you are constantly pursuing, you're going to have all these things that are going to feel like a little goal, and then on to the next one. When you know that that's what's going to happen, you're not expecting everything to be the end all be all. I think you can enjoy that process more and enjoy the benefits of reaching that next step, because it means that you're on to the next one, and that's a good thing, rather than, oh crap, I thought this was the thing and now I have to figure out what's next. So I think it's just that little shift in your mindset that, yeah, we're going to have goals. There's nothing wrong with setting goals. I think by no means are we saying that at all, but there's not going to be one specific task or goal that's going to bring ultimate satisfaction or happiness or pride. And so when you recognize that, I think you can end up feeling those feelings more from each little step along the way, because you know it's in pursuit of something bigger.
Yeah, and that's, I always, ever since I heard a quote by Jonah Oliver on the, I think I was on the Way of Champions podcast, John O'Sullivan and Jerry Lynch, he said that what you do is just a vehicle to live out your values. And if those values are almost, if they're worthy, almost always going to involve other people. And so rather than just, I want to get a college scholarship so I can go to college for free and then post all these pictures on Instagram in my new sweatshirt, that's not a transcendent reason, and those aren't meaningful values that are going to carry the day. And but if this pursuit of excellence, you know, two steps forward, one step back, and it's work and struggle, but all along it's a way for us to model and inspire and touch other people along the way, that's when this then becomes something more, like more meaningful, more powerful. And then, you know, I realized like the fact that I was lucky enough to coach really good teams, that does make people more apt to listen to me sometimes. Yeah. That's about the only value I have in it now, other than, you know, at the time, like it was a grind, and, you know, we worked really hard and we were very committed and proud of the kids and for embracing all of that. But for it to have more meaning than that is right. Pretty important, like I would say essential.
Yeah.
Otherwise it's just, what am I going to do? Like go back and look at banners or something. Yeah. It just doesn't.
And that was in that example with, you know, of course we got in the car that night and I told my daughter how proud I was of her. But I also wanted to make sure I said to her, like, A, I'm not just proud of you when someone tells me something like that, right? Like there are other things about you, but also that's not a reason that we just stop practicing those skills and stop doing those things. Like, oh, well, someone gave me a compliment, and so, okay, I must be doing it right. And then you kind of get slack with your efforts. That's something that you want to keep on strengthening, because it is something that people notice about you. People notice when you're, and it's, I don't think those people necessarily noticed that the 7-year-old was investing in them. But I think as you get older, people see that being intentional with people and relationships and how you treat them is something that people admire and appreciate about you, and think that, you know, you're just a genuine good person, which I talked about a couple episodes ago about just people that I think are just good people. It's kind of my description. That just because someone's giving you praise or something, it's not, you're not done. It's not something you can just sort of start coasting now. It's something that in my mind, things that you receive, and I don't mean to say praise because that's what you're seeking, but things that you're commended for, I guess is a maybe different way to put it. Those are things people notice, and they're valuable to people. And so all the more reason to start diving more into those and giving that to people.
Yeah, and
as
that's
part of who you are.
Even in the pursuit of goals, whatever, I am pleased and I have great fondness for the fact that even like that it wasn't just like I wasn't on a solo journey, like it was with these other people that we can. I mean, I remember, you know, driving down the road in vans laughing and that kind
that's
of stuff.
What I remember the most
is definitely but it's all part of it. And I think if in this pursuit, you know, you get to really enjoy it, that's one of like it's one of the keys like to the flow state is enjoyment. And the flow state is like kind of optimum performance level. So I think even from a like we just look at pure success and performance, having a powerful meaning and purpose and values connected with enjoyment, like that's going to produce your best performances. And, you know, talked about Scotty Scheffler and all he said that one thing that doesn't bring fulfillment, the big, whatever, winning the Masters or the Open, nor should it, nor can it.
Yeah. yeah, that can't be it.
But that doesn't mean we then just don't, we just sit around and do nothing. That's not the point at all. But knowing that ultimately fulfillment is always going to be found in our connections with other people. And so I think the title of the chapter was Create Your Own Aspen Grove. And that's good advice. Good advice.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Unbound Performance Podcast.
Your support helps us continue to build our community. If you're enjoying this content, please like, subscribe, and share.